We just praise you and thank you, Lord, that you are the source of our understanding, that you give us the ability, Lord, to receive the word in our hearts and to be transformed in the way, Lord, you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to be open. Help us, Lord, to be humble. Help us, Lord, to be able to receive the truth and be set free, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we've been talking about receiving things from God, hearing from God, in a way, because we have been talking about the Spirit. And the Spirit is really the part in us that is in contact with God to be able to receive things. And if you look at the history of Christianity, I didn't have this, but we were driving and I got here, and this morning the Lord showed me something that a scripture that we have read millions of times. But you can read a scripture millions of times and the millions and one is you're going to find out something that you never saw before. And you know that it's God because it fits with everything else. If you look at the history of Christianity, there are so much, it's such a mess. If you read about the history of the church, you see that there's been so much confusion, so many heresies, so much wrong beliefs. And you say, what's wrong with this? Because it doesn't make any sense. When people say, well, you know, just mark it out, it's the devil, you know. But is more than that. The devil can do what he wants to do if believers are not stupid enough to listen to him. And that's where the problem is. You see, the flesh is really a problem. Okay. And that's where people get caught up. Okay, because start to do things according to their own thinking instead of doing things according to the Word of God. The secret of that, really, to be able really to understand why that happens, is really only the scripture that we quote all the time. Romans 12, 1 to 3. I'm going to take the scripture, I'm going to read it very carefully. So I beseech you, brethren, verse 1, Romans 12, by the mercy of God, that you may present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now we read this all the time and we think, but there is an implication and a consequence of this scripture. That if we are not renewed in our mind, we are never going to know the good and perfect will of God. And when we try to find out the will of God, with our mind non-renewed, we are going to be caught up into confusion and into error. Because we cannot understand the truth. You see, the only way to prove what God's truth is when our mind has been already renewed. But when we try to understand the will of God, when our mind is not renewed, we are going to get into a wrong end. That's what it's saying here. And this is what happens when all the people get off a tangent. They try to go into the spiritual. They try to go and understand spiritual things when their mind is not renewed, when they are not being modified already by the word of God, and they are going to do it according to their own thinking and are going into their own philosophy and according to men's ideas and their carnal instinct instead of the Spirit of God. You cannot find out what God wants from you clearly unless your mind has been renewed already by the Word of God. That means you have to submit your own thinking and your own ideas to God's will and to God, into the Word of God. Essentially, you go to the Word and you are open and you allow the Word of God to control your thinking. Otherwise, your thinking is going to be wrong. And it's the Word that changes you. That's what transforms you. Not your man's philosophies, not the theological ideas of theologians through the century of the church, because there is a lot, if you look at them, there are lots of ideas that have been wrong and been accepted everywhere. See, man's philosophy, man's reasoning is wrong to start with because it's based on the flesh. Unless there's been a modification, a transformation, so that we are already lined up with the Word of God, when we are going to be doing our reasoning, we are going to go off a tangent. Now you can have different degrees of that. You can have somebody that is not even saved and tries to get and understand spiritual things. And what are you going to get in that case? You're going to get into the occult. There is no way. Because your mind cannot find the truth by itself. So people that are trying, spiritualists, mediums, people that, fortune tellers, people that use pendulums to find out the truth. You see, they use fleshy way to find out spiritual things. Things that are, I'm going from the one that are very evident to the one that are becoming less and less evident. These people evidently don't know the Lord, but there are some Christians that do these kind of things too, who call themselves Christians. Water witching. What do you think that is? See, they're trying to get spiritual things, tarots, New Age ideas. They're going to be spiritual. According to their own thinking, not according to the Word of God. You cannot be spiritual and being in the truth unless you go by the Word of God. The Scripture says it very clearly. I'm going to, Christian mysticism falls in the same categories, because these people, you go and read through the centuries, all the mystics, they have got so many crazy ideas, and many of the theological ideas that are wrong come from them. Why? Because they started to meditate on their own ideas instead of the Word of God, and they weren't prepared to do that. I'm going to get farther and farther now. Take things like all the Christian Science. Well, no, let me go. Book of Mormons. I mean, look, their life looks clean. Probably cleaner than many Christians. But that doesn't make any difference. They are in the occult. See, they don't tell you the whole story. When you go up high in the hierarchy, they're going to tell you the truth. Well, I'm not going to even talk about Jehovah's Witness because it's so evident. For example, A Course in Miracles. I don't know if you know about this book. Essentially, this was revealed by Jesus talking to this person and telling him how to live. It was a complete write-up of what Jesus said to this woman. And there is nothing right about it, but sounds good. I can continue. Most of the Christian Science. There are some things that, no matter where you go, even in cults, there is always something truth, but there is the fact that it is not truth that produces the problem. And unless you are mature enough, and you have been transformed by the Word, you cannot even see the difference. So you get some Christian that get off a tangent. Like what took place in the Toronto Airport Fellowship. That initially they were Christian, but they were confused. And they open up to stuff that is complete nonsense, but nobody sees it. And they sucked in thousands of people because they are stupid enough not to have their mind renewed before getting into something like that. Yeah. Ministers from all over the world. That's worse than a cult. Because at least a cult is evident. But in this case, boy, is anybody that can see something weird there? But the point is, people want so much to see the supernatural that they get caught up into things that are not of God and they're actually demonic. You know, I remember myself some time ago. You know, I even got some material that this group is called the Communion of God. And at that time I couldn't see the problem with it, but now I do. But even then, it was about more than 10, 15 years ago. You know, it sounds everything fine. I mean, they quote scripture and everything else. It's all scriptural. But there is a little piece there that is the problem. And essentially, is the way they deal with communicating with God. See, the idea that the only thing you have to do is start. See, that's the wrong type of meditation. You start thinking that you're talking with God and you start writing up the communication that you get from God, and God talks to you because you're talking to Him. That's complete nonsense. See, what happens to these people, they end up in automatic writing. And that's demonic. But they don't know that. They think it's God. So they get all this crazy idea about themselves, because that's what the enemy is trying to do. Oh, God, I love you, and all this other nonsense that they end up writing and talking about. But it's really themselves making up everything, and after a while they're demons. God doesn't work that way. To get the truth from God, your mind has to be renewed first. And your mind is renewed when you focus on the Word of God and you keep everything else F. You don't try to get anything, God to do anything, because God is the one in control of your spiritual experiences. Hello. You see, we don't have access to the throne directly. If you remember the temple, the priest couldn't go in when he felt like it. And that's a type of the way we are, we're going to in the spiritual world. It's when God opens the door that we can go in and He communicates to us. It's not us demanding Him to talk to us. See, one way to know that when God is speaking to you is that you are not even asking Him. And pop comes up in your mind. You get this vision that you weren't expecting. You say, where is this coming from? It's not that you are there making it up, trying to convince God to tell you things so that you know the truth. You cannot even take a scripture and try to interpret it in your mind, because it said it very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, these things are not understood by the natural man, is to be revealed by the Spirit. And the Spirit works according to His will, not your will. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Are you following me? You want to get deceived? Get into this stuff. You want to progress and get understanding? Start going to the Word of God and let the Word of God work in you so that it changes the way you think. You know, I was trained as a scientist. And as a scientist, what you learn to do is to think logically and to derive things. Science or philosopher is the same thing. We all apply it in a different way. And when I came to the Lord, I realized that wasn't the way that was giving me any solution. And I refused to follow my reasoning. I put my reasoning on a shelf for many years and believed God that He was And when he would tell me something, I would take it. Otherwise, I would just not even try to get things. And that, not that I never did that. It's just that when I realized I was doing that, I was pulling back. And God understood that. And when I got off a tangent, he just came through. And my first experience supernaturally was correction. I wasn't getting big revelation. I was getting, you're wrong there. And sometimes it was scary. But that kept me on the narrow road. And I was careful not to push beyond what I was able to understand and receive. Now, see, this is the whole thing about our spirit. Why am I talking about this now? Because in dealing with the communication between God, the Holy Spirit in us, and our spirit, and our communication between our spirit and our soul, actually our heart, is there where the problem is. If our heart is not pure, we are going to mess up the communication anyway. So our heart has to be clean before we can get things from God. And we are going to be able to get things from God only to the degree that our heart is clean. That means it's been modified, it's been changed, it's been washed by the blood, it's been, you know, that's not religion. That's the operation of the washing power of the Word of God. That cleanses all the junk from our thinking. And the fleshy desire that we have within ourselves. See, we had to give up. Even to grow spiritually. To be able to do that. To grow spiritually. Because if we want it badly, you know what happens there? That is our flesh wanting to magnify itself. But when we just trust God and let God do the work inside us that need to be done, then he has free rein to do it. And we just follow. Because we cannot make ourselves grow. It's really contrary to your physical body is not made grow because you want it to grow. When you are a baby, it naturally grows because that's what's supposed to happen when the environment is right. Your spiritual being is transformed with, when you are born again, there's very clearly there, all things are of God, everything. So that part is cleaned up, but that's not the problem. The problem is our soul that is not cleaned up when we, our heart part is still messed up. Lots of ideas that are crazy and are fleshy. And all the desire and the feeling and the stuff, the hurts, all those things are still there. And they need to be changed by the Lord, not by us. You cannot pull yourself up from your bootstraps. Do you know what I mean? Good. See, it's God. Everything is him. Hallelujah. He is the one. Jesus is the one that makes it possible for us. And Jesus is the one that has to carry it out. And what we have to do is just simply offer our body a living sacrifice unto him. So that we follow him instead of following our leadership. When we do that, we don't get in trouble. When we do the other, we get in trouble for sure. See, when I see somebody too keen about being spiritual, I get nervous. Because quite likely, they're going to be sucked into some crazy idea. And the enemy is right there to provide it to them. Okay. But since I'm writing a book on meditation, this thing came up. You know, I for me, that's resolved, and I don't even think about it, but I have to make sure that the gaps are filled so that people don't use what I say in the wrong way. They use Paul's teaching, and well, he was accused because he said he was encouraging sin, but he wasn't encouraging sin, that the people didn't understand what he was talking about. And he had to correct them. So the idea is to, you know, introduce before people misinterpret you the correction for the mistakes that are going to be taking place when interpreting what you're saying. Are you following what I'm saying? So what I did is write the old book, and I said, okay, now I leave it there, and now God, show me where the gaps are. Because I need to fix the gaps before I can publish the book. Because there is, if you look at any of the books, I haven't seen any that talk about meditation properly. Well, maybe one or two, but they're not talking about meditation. It's talking about speaking the word, which is a different thing. I haven't seen any that hasn't gone through the Christian mystics, and they got their idea from them, and they're completely wrong. Where do you think the worship the Virgin Mary came from? Christian mystic. That wasn't there before. And many other things. I'm not going to get too much into the details. I went enough to warn you about this. Now, I give you an example of how our conscience is affected by these kind of things. You see? Because how do we mess up our conscience? Our conscience is given to us by God to distinguish what is right and what is wrong. How, when we are born again, automatically our conscience is prepared, I mean, because from our spirit, not from our soul. Okay? The thing is that we get it through what? Our heart. And our heart filters everything that comes from our spirit. So if our heart is not being modified already, when get stuff from our spirit, it's going to object. Or it's going to find excuses. So what happens? And that's what happens to everybody. When we get some new ideas that God is trying to show us and correct us, that are contrary to what our flesh wants, because remember, when we are born again, our flesh is just as messed up as it was before. And so is our heart to a large degree. There is a sprinkle there of something true, but it's really our spirit that is being regenerated, not our heart yet. So there has to be this regeneration of the, which is salvation. You know, the regeneration of the soul, the salvation of our soul, that's the way Peter says it. You know, that's to take place. It takes place through the Word of God. And only the Word of God is not our thinking. So, but our thinking, as soon as get some word from the Word of God, feel resistance. It just doesn't like it because we like some of the things that we are doing or some of the things that we are thinking or some of the things that we want to do. So what happens? We start reasoning. We start meditating. We start pondering on these two different things. And we start having those battles inside ourselves of which is truth and which is not truth. And we start to justify ourselves after a while. We don't know anymore. You see, our conscience is, we made a shut up. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. This is what I believe. This is what I want. And our soul, who tries always to control us, take charge. That's what our soul is made to do, but is made to do when it's being transformed. when he's not transformed, he's going to try to say the same thing, but with the basis that is generated from the world, from our experiences, from our fleshy experiences and desires. Are you following me? So what happens is that we are sucked in the wrong thing, believing that it's right. I don't know how many ministers end up in adultery because they believe that God sent some other woman instead of their wife to be their spouse. What's wrong with them? Anybody from the outside can very clearly see that they are wrong, they're contrary to the word of God. Why do they fall into this kind of mistakes? Because they went through the process I just finished explaining to you. You start meditating on the wrong thing because of the attraction of the flesh in that case. But you know, the spiritual stuff is just the same. You get so caught up into thinking that you know everything that your truth becomes the truth and not the word of God. So unless you have been modified first by the word of God, see, that's why when there is that conflict, you have to just leave it there and go somewhere else. Just don't even be in that place anymore. Run off! Because you are not in the position to fight it. You remember Joseph? He was a man, strong man, young man. Evidently, he felt attracted by women. If you're normal. Hello. What did he do when he was in the situation? He ran off. Why didn't he stay there and say, well, you know, I'll teach you something. He would have been an idiot. Well, that's some of the people are like that. They open themselves up. The enemy doesn't have the right to impinge, to come and fool around with us. We let him. In all the different areas, because our flesh wants these things. So, our conscience is one of the elements of our spirit. Do you see how our conscience can be fooled? The Bible talks about it as seared. That means loses the sensitivity they should have to distinguish between the two, so that it doesn't speak anymore. Your soul is predominant. Are you following me? So I wanted to give you some scriptures. Now, everything I said today is still already scripture. I mean, it is referred to, you know, you see the temptation in James chapter 1. You see Romans chapter 12. You know, the first few verses just shows the way these things work. Okay. And show the way it should work. See, we have to be very careful to the things we are exposed to. I have lots of books that are not good. Okay? But there is a purpose why I have these books. Because I have to know about these things. But even myself, before I read any of them or any amount of them, I ask God to protect me. And I do only to the degree that I can do it. I know when I have to stop. And I shield myself against the wrong thoughts. Because I could be sucked in just like anybody else. I need prayer from people that my eyes may be open. And I pray myself that I can see clearly about these things. But you know, I wouldn't advise anybody to read some of the books I have in my library. Because they would be sucked in. Some books have been there for years and I didn't even open them. But I bought them for a purpose. Because there's going to be the time when I can open them, and now I can open some books. You know, I don't spend too much time. You stay in the wrong environment, you stay in the wrong with the wrong people, you're going to, you know, at the beginning you're going to accept, and after a while you're going to be with them. You go with somebody that swears all the time, after a while you're going to swear. Why? Because you get used to it, and after a while it's inside you. before, you know, you were turned off and you say, oh my goodness, how can anybody be so vulgar? After a while, you don't say that anymore. After a while, it slips out of your mouth and you don't even realize it did. Why? Because that's the way our mind works. Osmosis penetrates inside us and you cannot do anything once you let it in. Just read James chapter 1, the way temptation comes. Remember, temptation and meditation are the same thing. You can use it in the right direction, or you can use it in the wrong direction. But they work by the same principle. Worry or looking at the Word of God. You start worry, you open up to the spirit of fear. You look at the Word of God, the spirit of fear is dispelled. Lust, you look at the wrong things, the wrong pictures, the wrong thing. Look at pornography. Pornography is spread through ministers. How can you even imagine that? What's wrong with them? They open themselves up. We have to have wisdom. Asking for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Allow the spirit of wisdom and revelation to penetrate inside us so that we can distinguish, that we can understand right and wrong, so that we are not sucked into these things. Most people don't understand spiritual things because they have no spiritual experience. You know, maybe 10 years ago I couldn't have explained this to you the way I explain it to you today. And in one specific case, I even used some of the material once, but I felt something wrong and I couldn't put my finger on it. I felt inside my spirit, this is wrong. I even gave a seminary or something with the material from them, you know, communion with God. And I had, you know, after I did it, I just felt sick about it and I couldn't put the finger on it. And I just did, that was about 2006, 2007, something like that. After feeling that way, I just put it on the side. I didn't ever look at it anymore until I've been looking now at this and try to determine things. Try to determine, you know, like, at that time was the time when the Toronto Airport Fellowship or Catch the Fire was going on. And that was so evident that I took a position against most of the charismatic pastors here in Ottawa. And I separated myself from them because I didn't want anything to do with that. I was junk. Okay? I was missing the Holy Spirit. Yeah, for sure. I was missing the demons that they got. Anyway, but the point is, in the other situation was much not as evident. But still my spirit was saying something is wrong here. And I just left it there. When I said something is wrong, I just don't need to touch it. There's so much more to look at. Until, you know, now I'm in a different place. And I can have much more revelation than I had before, much more understanding. So now I can discern better, and I can look at it. And so I said, okay, you know, let's go back. And I looked at all these things, because when I started teaching on this, I started looking at the Toronto Vineyard, it's not called that way anymore, and all the others, and start to say, okay, you know, where is coming from? How is it coming on? What is happening? What's going to happen? Why is it working that way? And everything is pretty evident. It's very clear. This is an area that it can be dangerous if people don't know what they're doing, because all the cults start that way. Things that are powerful, they have a danger with it if they're used wrongly. Okay, you can go on a little car that can go 50 miles an hour. Well, you cannot do too much damage. I mean, maximum you kill yourself. Okay, because it's small. But you go in a Ferrari that can go 250 miles an hour, and you can kill lots of people. With power goes responsibility. I wouldn't want to be in the position of some people, some Christian leaders of today. And I hope I never be. So let me read where it starts from. Psalm 34, verse 18. So this is Psalm 33, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to those who have broken heart, and of such as a contrite spirit." Actually, the way Hebrew wisdom literature is, you know, there is always repeating the same thing with two different words. And really, the meaning there is not what people generally translate, the broken heart, you know, they are damaged, they are broken to pieces, made smithereen or whatever. No, he's talking about a humble spirit here. That's the word there. See, the Lord is near to those who have a humble spirit. So you have to be humble to receive from God. And actually, this is repeated in the list in two clear places. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, "He, God, gives grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. Therefore, submit." This is the same word that I read before in Romans, submit your body. "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." But it doesn't stop there. It says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your heart." You see, there has to be a pure heart to be able to get the things that God wants to tell me. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. Often, you know, what people get in this kind of communication from God, "Oh, you are special." You are not special. You are like everybody else. But they had to feel good. So they had to be special. If you are a believer, you are special, but not because you are you, because somebody is in you, which is Christ Jesus. See, Christ in you, the hope of glory, not yourself. You are dead. You should be dead. The basis of Christianity is that our old self is dead. And we are alive in him. It's because he is alive in us that we can do anything, or we can. So it's not us. We should get out of the way. The more we are out of the way, the more our mind is renewed, the more it's not us. It's him. Are you following me? Christ in you, the hope of glory, is not your glory. It's his glory. Our conscience, as feelings, if you want, as produces reactions in us. It just determines the way it makes us react to the environment that we are in, so that we respond to the environment. In Acts chapter 17, verse 16 says, "Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols." You see, the other word is, it was irritated, upset. You see, the Holy Spirit is not going to make you feel lovey-dovey for everything that you see around yourself. In this case, he was irritated, was upset, was ticked off by seeing the demonic power that was operating in Athens. That's, it says, his spirit. So his spirit was getting from the Holy Spirit the feeling that the Holy Spirit had. Let me keep going. You know, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, you know, "Therefore there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So, and that's the verse that sometimes people use when you try to correct somebody. "Oh, you're making me feel condemned." And so you say, "Well, this is not the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry." When you walk according to the Spirit, you're not condemnation. But when you not walk according to the Spirit, I hope you feel guilty and condemned. Because otherwise you have a problem in your conscience. Even if you are a Christian. Hello? Christians are not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to make things that are wrong. And they too feel condemned. Not going, "Oh, everything is around. God is going to take care of everything." I mean, really stupid. You see sometimes on Facebook, this Christian, "Oh, no, God is going to take care of everything." Well, doesn't look like in the world. Why? Because they get themselves in trouble and God is not going to be able to do much. It's not anything that you do, God is going to stamp it and say, "You are okay because you are my child." It's when you are in Christ that you are protected. when you are under the wings of the Most High, that you are protected. You go off a tangent. Doesn't matter the big revelation. Actually, the more revelation you have, and the more when you got into a tangent, the enemy is going to try to stick it to you because he hates you. You are producing already too much trouble. So when you are spiritually developed, who are responsible for ministry, and you go around messing up on his territory, he's not going to like you too much. And you have to better walk right. Because if you don't walk right, somebody else is going to serve you. And he's not God. God wouldn't do anything bad to you. God is a faith God. You know what it means? That he trusts you even when you make the mistakes. He's your daddy. I mean, parents see their kids making a mess. They still love them, don't they? God loves you even when you make a mess, even when you make a mistake, when you got a tangent, because what he does, he always hope. He's love. Hope, you know, loves, hopes all things. So he hopes that tomorrow you're going to straighten up. But the enemy is there and says, oh, he's uncovered, stuck, and he sticks it to you. And God can do anything because you got off the protection zone. Sometimes we think God is in control of everything. God is not in control of us. He has given us free will so that we can make the decision, and that's what the way we give him glory. We give him glory when we believe in him and we stand with him and we take position for him and we allow him to rule our life. That's the way we give him glory. That's the only way, so that he can work through us. If God would be in control, the world wouldn't be the mess we are in. You have to be naive to believe that. I have pages of scriptures on conscience. See, conscience is such an important topic that nobody talks about. Have you ever heard a sermon on conscience? Anybody? At least one. Mine? Big deal. That's not valid. Okay? I mean, that's true. And really, you know, if you do a search on your concordance and see how many times conscience comes both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that means to me that God gives importance to this topic. But we talk about how to make money instead of how to have a clean conscience. All right. Okay, I want to read only one scripture. Just give me that, okay? All right. Titus 1:15. This is such a good scripture. And actually, there is one in the Old Testament that says the same thing. So, says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know, and here you know that to know is not gnosko. You know, the word there is ideo, which actually means to discern, to see. Okay, they pretend, profess to know God, but whose work deny him. That means contradict that truth. Being abominable, disobedient, disqualified of every good work. You see, our conscience has to be purified. You see, this is what our salvation is. Our salvation is nothing else than the salvation of our soul. That's the way Peter says. You see, that means, you know, that the process of sanctification is not the things that we are going to impose on ourselves to look religious. Is the transformation that took place as the Word of God took root inside us and transformed you so that you are not conforming anymore to the world, but you are transformed. Well, that means, you know, we are made new by the Word that is working in you and releases the change that takes place. Did you get anything today? I think we should make a confession here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth, that reveals to my mind your word, so that I can be changed, transformed, empowered, able to overcome temptation, sin, sickness, disease, deception of the enemy. I can walk in righteousness, not my righteousness, but Jesus' righteousness. He's the one that sets me free. He's the one that guides me. He's the one that empowers me. He's the one that enables me through the power of His name. I can go with that authority, His authority, not my authority. And I acknowledge today that as I receive His authority, I can speak out to the demons and they will obey, to sickness and they will go. And I will grow and be protected under the wing of the Almighty, because no evil shall come near me. And I will praise you, and I love you, and I will worship you, because you are a God Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.